ಋತೌ ವಂದೇ ಭಗವಂತೌ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ ಈಶ್ವರೋ ಗುರುರಾತ್ಮೇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತಿಭೇದ ವಿಭಾಗಿನೇ ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ.
ಓಂ ಸಹನಾಭವತು
ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ.
ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸಹನಾವಧಿ. If time permits, on the Mrityunjaya Mantra. So let's begin with Sahanavavatu. Sahanavavatu is called a Shanti Mantra. It's a Shanti Mantra. Swami has talked in general about Shanti Mantra. This Shanti Mantra Sahanavavatu is seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad, which is in Krishna Yajurveda, and it is found there in the second adhyaya called the Anandavalli, Brahmanandavalli. There this Shanti Mantra is found. Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu. This, the previous section has another Shanti Mantra which is Shanno Mitra Kshaṁ Varunaha. And you will find Sahanavavatu is chanted for any Upanishad which we are dealing with, which is in the Krishna Yajurveda. So it's like the Shanti Mantra used for all Upanishads in the Krishna Yajurveda. Purnamada Purnamidam is chanted for all in the Shukla Yajurveda. Right. So like this, for each Veda we have a particular Shanti Mantra, Bhadram Karnevihi, which chant for the Atharva Veda, Mundaka Mandukya, which chant Bhadram Karnevihi. So depending on the Veda we are dealing with, a Shanti Mantra is a quick understanding, tell you which Veda this particular Upanishad or Mantra we are dealing with belongs to. So you get that insight by just knowing the Shanti Mantra we are chanting. So as soon as you hear Sahanavavatu, in general, it means we are working with Krishna Yajurveda. Now, this Sampradaya of ours, we go back to Adi Shankara. Adi Shankara himself was a Krishna Yajurvedin. Because he was in South India, most of people are Krishna Yajurveda in general. So given that, Swamiji is also Krishna Yajurveda follower. I mean, he belongs to Krishna Yajurveda Shaka. Therefore, anything we do, we begin with the Shanti Mantra or Veda Shaka. Therefore, Pooja Swamiji will see, irrespective of what we are doing, will always begin just before the class, he will say Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, right? Because that is our Veda Shaka and that is Shanti Mantra. Okay? So this Shanti Mantra therefore for us is ubiquitous. We see it every day. Every class we will hear Sahanavavatu. And Pooja Swamiji's approach is what? Now his throat is bad. I'm in trouble speaking. But otherwise he would always start with, as we start today, Shruti Smriti Puranaanam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Padam Shankaram Loka Shankaram. Especially if Swamiji is doing a Bhashyam class, he will begin with that. Because Bhashya, we owe it to Adi Shankara. Then the next one is what? Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Kritav Vande Bhagavantav Punam Punaha. The whole parampara is brought in now. Shankaram Shankaracharya. Who is Shankaracharya? Who is the Bhashyakar? And then Vyasa, who is the Brahma Sutra writer. The Brahma Sutras are like the top of the pyramid in the parampara's literature. It is an analytical work which is to be studied when one has understood what is taught in the Shruti. But there are some doubts or there is some confusion of what she is saying. Then Brahma Sutra walks in and clears any kind of confusion one may have. So that Brahma Sutra is given phenomenal importance in the parampara, and Vyasa is the one who created that. So Sutrakara is Vyasa and Bhashyakara is Shankara. And entire parampara, we salute. Then we do what? Ishvaro Gururasmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagini. The same truth is present as Ishvara, Guru, Atma, in all these Murti Bhedas, in the various forms, this one truth alone is present. Ishvaraha, Guruhu, Atma, Iti, in this manner, Murti Bheda Vibhagini. One who is available with these distinctions, as though they are different. Yoma Vyapta Dehaya Dakshinam Kalena. Yoma means the sky, the space. In this universe when we live, what is that which restricts space? Where is space not? If I see an object, a book, is this displacing space? It is, space pervades this book in all dimensions. Therefore, space never goes away. So, Vyomavat, like space in our experience, there is nothing which you can conceive in this universe without space. Every object is in space and time. In the same manner, Vyomavat, Vyapta Dehaya, one whose essence is pervading the entire universe, Dakshina Muttari. So, we pray, we bow, we pay obeisance to that Lord Dakshinamurti. Dakshinascha Amurtishcha. He is the one who is capable. Capable of what? Srishti, Sthiti, Samhara. One who is capable of manifesting this universe, keeping the manifestation going, and in resolving that manifestation unto himself. That Dakshinamurti. Who is seen in the tradition as the first teacher? Such a Dakshinamurti. To him we pay obeisance. And after we say these, then Swami will say, Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Munaktu. So that comes at the end, and then we start our study. So this is a general introduction to where Sahanavavatu fits in general, and how we use it in our tradition here. I said it's a Shanti mantra. What does Shanti mean? Shanti comes from a root Sham. Shamu Upashame. Upashama means cessation. It's not a positive word really. Though literally you translate being seen as Om, peace, peace, peace. But peace, the word peace says very little. Peace is what? What is really peace? What's the contrast for peace? Disturbance of some kind. It is the cessation of the disturbance which is Shanti. Okay? It is a word which is removing something, which is saying there is something which is being subdued, something which is being removed. That cessation is Shanti. This is Shamu Uparame. And this Sham should not be confused with another word, Sham. Sham as an indeclinable means Shubham. That which is good, that which is mangal, which is auspicious. So the first Shanti mantra in Taittiriya says, Shanno Mitra Sham Varunaha. There the Sham is not the Sham as a root. A root cannot be used directly in a word, in a sentence. But Sham there is Mangalam. Shanno Mitraha. May the Lord Sun, Mitra, may he bring me auspiciousness. Shanno Pat Mitra Sham Varunaha. May Varuna bring me auspiciousness. So that Sham is different. Okay? So that Sham is talking about auspiciousness. Shanno Bhavatvar Yama. Let Aryama bring me auspiciousness. Shanna Indro Brihaspatihi. Let Indra and Brihaspati bring me auspicious. Shanno Vishnururuk Kramaha. So all these individual deities are first invoked, and we pray that may each of them bring me auspiciousness. But then at the end of that mantra, what do we hear again? Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So that Shanti is what I am talking about in Shanti. Prashanti is Upashama. It is cessation. Cessation of what? Cessation of whatever I don't want. Whatever I don't want, I want it to go away. Right? I am sitting down for this pursuit of study. In fact, we are sitting down for this pursuit of study. I should have space, as a person sitting on the seat, I should have the space, the mental space, the calmness, the clarity to speak what has to be said. I should enjoy the grace to be able to say what has to be said. And everybody, every one of you must have the grace to have the space to listen to what is being said, to be able to relate to what is being said, to be able to understand what is being said, to be able to retain what is being said, to be able to assimilate what is being said. See it all. Without that, we get only a part result. The whole result will not come our way, because the whole result can only come when the whole of it is assimilated. So there are too many slips between the cup and the lips. Too many slips. It's not one. At any point in time, one can fall off. Even when we come to this class, our mind can be wandering all over. I may not be able to come to the class because I'm not well. I am well, everything is okay, but it might be raining cats and dogs, and I don't have an umbrella and I can't come in. Right? Or it could be that I'm okay, the weather is fine too, but just before I walked in, I got a call from home and I was told my father is seriously ill. Where would my mind be if I stepped into the class? Though I'm physically in the class, my mind will be with my father. It's not something that I have a say over. The mind has its own ways, and situations unfold themselves. They don't seek our permission to unfold. We find ourselves in situations, and we deal with situations. We respond to situations. And that response is partly will-based, and partly it's not will-based. Situations are entirely given by Ishvara. So we say, karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachan. We have a choice with reference to action, but not with reference to choice, the results of the action. What is every situation we face? Every situation we face is the result of actions. We may not connect it, but the fact is, what is prarabdha karma? It is our own karmas, the adrishta, the unseen results of our past karmas as a package have given rise to this body. And this body will live to live all those situations it has to live. It is karmapala. I have no choice about it. It will unfold in its own way, in its own time, with very little say that I have over it. But I do have a say. That say is in my ability to pray, to invoke the grace to make the landing softer. There will be a landing. Okay? But the landing, I can only make it as soft as I can. I mean, many of you have taken a flight and you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you will see the pilot will land and you will feel that, you know, it hit the ground. You'll know it. And other times, you won't even know the plane has touched down. That's the skill of the pilot. We too are piloting our lives in our own way. And the skill, the intelligence in making the right choice here is in recognizing that there is something more than what I call. I don't call all the shots. In fact, as I see more and more, I realize I don't call any shots. Okay? The only shot I call is the small amount of so-called free will that I enjoy. I'm not saying there's no free will. What I'm saying, the extent of the free will is depending on our own prarabdha. Some of us seem to enjoy a greater free will. Some of us don't enjoy much free will. Free will all of us have. if you have a lever and you have a big stone, you can't lift a big stone like this. What do? You put the lever and you make space. Right? That little space is needed to get the lever in. That much space you need. If you have that much space, you can move a large stone. You can move a large weight with the cantilever. What do we have? A lever. What's the lever we have? The little free will that we enjoy. How can I use this free will to move a larger load? Load larger than myself? By prayer. By the anugraha of Ishvara. That grace is not available. It's not distributed randomly. It has to be tapped. Like the groundwater. I might be sitting on a huge reservoir of water and not have water to drink. What do I have to do? I have to tap the groundwater in order to make use of it. Grace is available all around, but I have to tap it. How do I tap grace? How does one tap grace? By prayer. So we begin any endeavor with a prayer. What is a prayer for? A prayer really is to make sure that I am able to take my endeavor to its logical conclusion. To the point where I want to be. Whatever my goal might be. And that is what the prayer is meant for. So a prayer has to take care of any obstacles that can come in my way. To achieve any mission. The mission I have in mind. So my sankalpa, my wish when I make a prayer is not random. In fact, if it is random, then I know that my mind is not in the prayer. As Swami said the other day, when he said, we say, when I say Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, it's a healing mantra. That healing mantra should be said with all my heart. I should really try to heal the whole world through that prayer. So prayer has to come with my full mind behind it, with my full personality behind it. It's not, we call it vachikam karma. There is no vachikam karma without the mind behind it. Otherwise it is just a fraction of what the karma is. There is no kayikam karma without mind behind it. So the mind has to be behind every karma. So the mind, the attitude, one has to invoke the devotee in oneself before he can make prayer. So Swami Tattvayananji would say, when you come into the class, you stop. Don't enter the class, you stop. And then you invoke the student in yourself. Because you just don't walk in. By going to temple, you discard samsari. You discard that fellow who is thinking of 100 other things. You go in with a heart of saying, I seek the Lord. When you walk into the class, you walk in with the attitude that now I am trying to leave behind. Oh Lord, may I leave behind all my concerns, all my worries, all my anxieties. I leave them. So the threshold of the classroom becomes a reminder. The washing of the feet in a temple is a reminder. Reminder to what? I am entering a place which is sacred. I am entering the place which can render me help. Therefore, I have to prepare myself to tap that place. Similarly, when I enter the classroom, I enter the classroom with an understanding. I am entering here for a purpose. I am entering here to learn. I am entering here to share. This idea, it comes in. Then when I step in, I said, still there are so many possible obstacles. So what are the obstacles in general? See, our tradition is wonderful in a way that we try to contain the infinite in the finite. The obstacles are infinite. How do I make them finite? By grouping them. We group the obstacles into three types. Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika, Adhyatmika. There is no fourth kind of obstacle. What is Adhyatmika? Something which centered on me. The me as I take myself to be. Okay. which means I take myself to be this body, I take myself to be this mind, I take myself to be the intellect, I take myself to be the karta, the bhokta. All this I take myself to be. Each of these is a limited personality. Each of this is a facet of the reality. Therefore, each of them will have a limitation. Whether I recognize it, whether I reckon it or not, each one of them will have limitations. And we only have to look to see how many limitations are there. As a body, I have some strength, but I don't have enough strength. Recognizing the mind, I have some abilities to understand some simple things. I don't have an ability to comprehend more complex things. I have the ability to withstand some emotions, but I melt in the face of other emotions. All these are limitations. Centered on what? On this body, mind, sense complex, which I take to be myself. This is Adhyatmika. Adhi Atma. It means Atma is myself. Those obstacles which are centered on this concept of myself are called Adhyatmika. Then we have Adi Bhautika. Whatever is centered on the environment around me, in the situation that I find myself in. That is Adi Bhautika. As I said, I want to come here, but there is a rain. Rain is not a good example, actually. I want to come here and I find that there is somebody who waylays me on the way and I get lost in talk with them. No. It's not entirely my making. It's dependent upon the situation. Right? I went to eat food. There was no food. The food ran out and I had to wait for another 15 minutes by the time class had begun. Anything may happen. Right? So this is not the environment which a lot of us suffer from. You know, I'm sitting in this hostel and it's occupied by so many others. And everybody does not live the way I like them to live. Right? Somebody is chanting loudly, somebody is singing loudly, somebody is chatting on the phone loudly. There are all possibilities. Each of them can bother me and take my mind away from what I want. All this is adhikarma. You could have had a better neighbor. Why that neighbor didn't go to the next floor? It doesn't happen. You know, why is he minding? Why not somebody else's? In fact, I asked for a room next to the person, thinking he's a very wonderful person. All this can happen, right? So Adi Bhautika. Then there is Adi Daivika, which is centered on Ishvara. Really, everything is centered on Ishvara. But then, within that, we are actually splitting here and saying there's Adi Bhautika, Adi Bhautika. Because if you look at Ishvara, if all that is here, then everything is Adi Daivika. But then, what is not within the scope of this body, mind, sense complex, what is not centered on the immediate environment is Adhyatmika. Which means, like you have an earthquake, you had a tsunami coming. How do you know? Just comes, right? It's not based on individual karma. It's samashti. It happens. Adhyatmika. A lightning strikes. Adhyatmika. So, other than these three kinds of obstacles, find me a fourth kind. Everything is covered. That's the brilliance. So by saying just three things, we have covered everything. Suppose I own the Adhidaivika. Why not? Covers everything too. But then you won't feel satisfied. Because you will find there's something centered on this, which you don't connect to Ishvara necessarily. So I'm saying each has its place. So we pray. What do you pray for? Shantihi. Shama upashame uparame. So there is a cessation. Cessation from what? Adi Bhautika obstacle, Adi Bhautika ashantihi, Adi Daivika ashantihi, Adhyatmika ashantihi. Three ashantis. There are three kinds of ashantis. Therefore, we say shanti three times. So these three shantis will address all the obstacles to the extent that they can be addressed. One should not go away by saying, well, I prayed, but I was still disturbed in class. I was distracted. I couldn't come to class. No. There is a karma that you have, and Ishvara is Sarvajna. who he gives you a result in keeping with the karma, past and present. So if I prayed, if I poured all my heart into it, if it is possible, Ishvara will definitely bless me with what I am asking for. But if my past, I have enough karma phalas to prevent it, still it will happen. But what we need to appreciate is that this prayer is my best bet to improve the situation to the extent it can be. So this is true of all Shanti Mantras. Now let's look at what's specific to this. Om Sahana Vavatu. Saha Nau Avatu. Saha Nau Bhunaktu. Saha Nau Bhunaktu. That now becomes Nau Avatu. What is this Avatu? Avatu means Rakshatu. May he protect. May he protect. Who is this he? Third person. Avatu. Third person. Therefore you have to get somebody other than I or you. Somebody else has to protect. What is the remote? Tatpadam. Who is that? Ishvaraha. Now there are two ways of looking at this. Saha can be taken as one single word. In Sanskrit, the word Saha can be taken as one single word. The normal Saha that you are aware of, at least a lot of you would be aware of, is with, together. Right? So we'll say, Ramana Lakshmanena Saha Vanam Gachati. That means with Lakshmana, Rama goes to the forest. That is not the meaning of Saha we are invoking here. Okay? The word Saha here is simultaneously. Together. So, the prayer is made that who are the two to be protected now? Who is involved in this teaching, in this class right now? It's not I and my sister. Okay? Neither is I and my wife. So who are the two? The two are the student and the teacher. Each student. The prayer can be said just by a student on behalf of both. This is one interpretation of the parampara. That since the guru is kritartha, he is already free. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need to teach. He doesn't need to be in class. He can go and do whatever he wants. Who needs a teacher? The student. Therefore, it's the student's responsibility to pray for both the teacher and the student. Okay? So you have to make up for the teacher and yourself. Because it's your issue. Teacher has no problem. Swami doesn't have to come here. He can be wherever he has to be. It is for us. Therefore, we pray that may grace bring him here. May grace keep him here. See, he is here, but he is not here. He had to be in hospital now. Means what? Our prayers haven't reached as far as they could perhaps. Okay? It's not just prayer. Sahanau avatu. Let him protect both of us together. Now who is this? Who should protect? Kaha sahanau avatu. Question will come. Then I have to supply the word Ishvaraha. May the Lord protect both of us together. Because he protects him now, the student, and protect teacher 1 hour from now, the class may not happen. Protect them together. Keep them in the same place together at the same time. This is one way of looking at it. Right? But then, you can also look at it as Sa Ha, two words. Sa Ha. That's first size. The Saha with the Visarga. Okay? The Saha with the Visarga means what? The Tatpara. Goes as Saha Taute, Tam Tautan. That's Saha. So I'm not saying the first Saha with the mantra, I'm saying Saha with the Visarga. Ha. The Saha. Ha. Now, Bhunaktu. Now what happens? That Saha has come in. What is the Saha? He. Who is this he? It is not Uttam Purusha. It is not Madhyam Purusha. It is what? Prathama Purusha. The first being. Who is the cause of all that is here? Prathama Purusha. He is the subject matter. He is the only reality. That Saha. That Ishvara. Ha. Indeed. Definitely. Now avatu, let him protect us. May he protect us both. And as such, the student can be given the burden of praying for both. But the other way is what? The teacher and the student both pray together, which is how Pujya Swami says it. We all pray together. We all pray that may both of us be blessed. Sahano avatu palayatu. The avatu is the same which is in Om. Avarakshane. One who protect. The protection is our. Protection from what? Protection, as I said, from anything that I seek protection from. From all these obstacles. From all anarthas which bother me. From all of them, avatu. May he nourish me also. I need the physical strength. I need the good health. I need the resources to be here. I can't fly in from Singapore if I don't have money. I need the money. Right? I can't even take a bus if I don't have enough money. So I'm saying I need everything I need to get here. Whatever is needed. All those resources are needed. And that's all protection. I may have received them, but I may be robbed. So protect me. Avatu. Sahanau bhunaktu. Again, the saha can be the same way. You can take it as together simultaneously, or you can take it as saha. Same thing applies here. Bhunaktu. What is bhunaktu now? Dhatu is bhujin. This dhatu bhujin has got two meanings. One is protection, and one is eating. Okay? So you know the word bhokta. How do you get the word bhokta? What does bhokta mean? Enjoy. So can I say, may he give me enjoyment, sahano bhunaktu. May he give both of us enjoyment. Let him give us good food. Can it be the meaning? Seems like that. But then, the other meaning is what? Protect. How do you know which meaning it takes? So then, we have a tradition which comes to a rescue and says that anavane atmane padam. If it's not in the meaning of avanam, in the meaning of protection, then it takes atmane pada affixes. So now when you see bhunaktu, what kind of affix it is? This is where grammar comes in. You have to know what kind of an affix it is now. Bhunaktu, lotlakara, parasmai pada. Once you see parasmai pada, the bhuj cannot have the meaning of bhuj as to enjoy. Cannot have the meaning. What is the meaning then? To protect. Avane. Okay? So bhunaktu means what? To protect. Whereas when you see Ishavasya Upanishad, you will see Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita bhunjita tena tyaktena bhunjita. What is the bhunjita? Same bhujidhatu, but there is atmanepana. So you end up with the meaning of what? Enjoy. Maybe enjoy with tyaga tena tyaktena bhunjita. So the bhujidhatu is an interesting dhatu. We have to know the ending to know what it means. Okay? So here it is. Sahanau bhunaktu. So Pujya Swami is, I recall him saying that in some places they will chant sahana bhavatu before food. Because they are very clear. Bhuja is to enjoy. And food is the primary enjoyment for a brahmachari and for a sadhu. So what should we do? We make a prayer. Right? That would be proper. Let me get laddus. Let there be good bhandara. Right? But that is not the meaning in which this mantra is intended. Because bhunaktu is not in the sense of dhyaharam, it's not in the sense of food, it's in the sense of action. Sahanau bhunaktu. So now there are two words, avatu, bhunaktu. We can say it's being said twice for emphasis. We can also say that you are covering with one the mind, you are covering one the body. You can bring in different meanings. But basically what? We are praying for protection from all kinds of disturbances, protection from any harm, protection from losing my mind, protection from anything I seek, I need protection from. Yeah? Then, saha viryam karavavahai. Alright. Bhagwan has blessed me with a lack of any obstacles to come and sit and listen to the class. But then, I have a tendency. I like to be lazy. Basically, I like to be lazy. I like Naishkarmyam in terms of holiday. Sunday, no class is my Naishkarmya Siddhi. You know, no karma. Nirgata. All karmas are gone from whom? Is Nishkarma. Tasya bhava Naishkarmyam. Sunday, no Sanskrit class, good riddance, no chanting class, very good. Right? And if there is no meditation, no morning class, no evening class, then it will be real Nishkarma. Right? Now, Sunday has got some karma. Right? So, our Naishkarmyam, this is true of all of us in general. Why is it that everybody is happy with the holiday? In general. Why is it that we work the week for a weekend? Why do we look for a 2-week vacation in the year? Why? Because the basic thinking is, if I don't have to do anything, that's perfect. A sinecure is what we want, ideally. Lot of comforts with no responsibility. Enjoyment with no accountability. That's what human being basically seeks. But that kind of a lifestyle, a commitment to that kind of a lifestyle does not make one an adhikari for a study like this. To gain what is being taught in a class, one needs the ability, the adhikaritum, to understand what is being said. The ability to pay attention. The ability to hold the context, what went behind, what's going to come ahead, and what's being said, all of it in mind. Requires medha shakti. It requires a lot. All this is what? Samarthyam. Samarthyam is samarthasya bhava. It is a person who is equipped, a person who is capable. That capability is needed. So, saha viryam karavavahai. Karavavahai is lot. Kridhatu lot. Avahai is dual. So, may we do what? Viryam. Now here the saha is not saha. It is one word, saha. In the meaning of with. In saha viryam karavavahai, the saha is the meaning of with. With what? Viryam. With a lot of energy. Okay? With a lot of focus behind it. Viryam. Saha viryam karavavahai. What should we do? We should develop our samarthyam. May we strive. May we put in the effort. May we put our best leg forward to gain the capability, the capacity to understand what's being said. That is sahaviryam karavavahai. Because if not, one will be what? Ayatihi. What is ayatihi? One, a person with inadequate effort. See, this is what is needed. What is needed? To keep in mind what has gone behind. And that requires samarthya. So Swamiji said this. Ayati shruddhayopetaha kaamgatin krishna gacchati. A person with inadequate effort. What is ayatihi? Yatihi is one who has an effort. What is ayatihi? One possible meaning is one with no effort. But Swamiji mentioned again what? A person with no effort is not the context here. What's the context? A person with effort, but not adequate effort. How do I make adequate effort? I need grace for that too. Therefore, there's a prayer. Saha viryam karavavahai. May I have, may we have, both of us. Why does teacher need effort? Student needs effort to listen. Why does teacher need effort? Because teacher must have the ability to teach. Who is a good teacher? He should be what? Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He should be one who studies Shastra and should be Brahmanishtam. That is the ideal teacher. Shrotriyatvam is study of Shastra. But that study of Shastra, if I did it 5 years ago and I didn't look at the book yesterday and came to this class today, I would be blabbering right now. Okay. It needs an effort on my part too to look at what has beside. Right? So it needs an effort on both the part of the teacher and student. On the part of the teacher, to know what is to be said, to know what should not be said, equally important, and to know how to communicate it. To be able to see whether the students are understanding what is being communicated, or am I lacking something in my way to communicate. The Vedanta Shastra, Swami will say the prakriya. What's a prakriya? A method. A method for what? A method to make you see there is no problem. It's all make-believe. It's all an appearance, even. Whole Vedanta is even. But you are not able to see it. It is not a system. It's a method. Just a method. And that method means what? I have to be able to recognize what is it that blocks your understanding. And then communicate in a way that you're cornered. You're cornered in a way that you cannot but see what is the inside. That requires what? Samarthya. Therefore, the prayer is very meaningful. Sahaviryam karavavahai. The teacher needs to have samarthyam. Not only samarthyam, he should also have the compassion. As Swamiji says, teacher should have an extra ounce of compassion. See, normally, you need compassion if somebody is in trouble, you won't need to help him. But suppose you don't see the other fellow in trouble. In your view, the fellow is whole. He is purna. There is no problem. Why would you bother to help him? So that is not sufficient. Therefore, some of you will say you need an extra ounce of compassion. A teacher has to have it. And our Dayanandji has got too many extra ounces of compassion for all of us. Okay? He is Dayananda. That again is what? If you ask me, that is also samarthya. Because if I don't have the compassion, I cannot see that you need more. If I cannot see that, even though I might be willing to, I will not be able to help because I don't have that compassion anymore. And compassion is the dynamic form of grace. It is the dynamic form of love. That compassion without which really I cannot make a difference to anybody. Therefore, there is a prayer for that. So I am saying, Sahaviryam Karavavahai. Okay? What should happen with all this? I have prayed for what? Protection. Sahanavavatu, Sahanauhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai. I have prayed for my Adhikaritam also. And the ability of the teacher to be available and teach. Right? What should be the result of all this? The teaching should be effective. Tejasvinau adhitamastu. Tejasvinau adhitamastu. Adhitam is what? Study, the learning. Adhitam astu. May the learning be what? Tejasvinau. Our learning. Now adhitam. Let it be brilliant. Let our understanding be clear. Artha jnana yogyamastu. Bhashyakara is saying that adhitam, what does it mean? What do we mean by tejasvinam? He says it is sva adhitam astu artha jnana yogyamastu ityarthaha. Artha jnana yogyam. Jnanam, the knowledge of what? Of the meaning of what being said. Whole language is what? Pada and padartha. Whole jagat is nothing but pada and padartha. So what is the jnanam going to do? It is going to give me the right padartha from right padartha. I should take the book for a book and a mic for a mic, not otherwise. It has to go all the way. So what is being said should be understood as it is being communicated. If I intend a particular meaning, that's the meaning one should understand on the other side. So that is the tejas. Let the learning be brilliant. Let our learning be brilliant. Means let it be fruitful. Let it be successful. Let it have the intended outcome.
Ma vidvishavahai.
What is dvish? Dvish is to hate.
Vidvishavahai
means hate severely or hate in different ways.
Ma vidvishavahai.
Ma is a negative particle,
means
maybe not. Maybe not hate.
Whom?
Each other.
Because
everybody comes with an intention to learn.
But then,
there can be situations wherein out of inadvertence, one may behave in a particular way. It could be a teacher, it could be a student. Both of us are human. Both of us are in the process of growth in some way. In this process, even if a person has a jnana, this upadhi still remains. Swamiji says the jnanam cannot be improved upon. Which jnanam? That I am the whole. That jnanam cannot be improved upon. And the upadhi can never be perfect. Because it is trigunatmak. It is made of sattva, rajas, tamas. It has its course. It cannot be perfect. So what is the life of a mukhi or even a jnani for that matter? He does not have to do anything. But Swamiji says it is nice to improve his upadhi, that compassion can grow. It can happen all the time. So, in this process, even though we both have good intentions, there is a possibility that one behaves in a way which is hurtful to another. There is a possibility that one behaved appropriately, but the other mistook it to be inappropriate. It's so very true here, because we have a cross-cultural segment of students here, right? Not only sex students, the cross-cultural segment of teachers as well, right? So you have teachers from all over, you have students from all over. So Swamiji will keep saying, see, this is North Indian, this is South Indian, right? And I'm sure you can see this in every situation. Whether you go to your smallest country, you will find there is one thing in one part of the country, another one part of the country. If you go to England, you talk English, how many kinds of English are spoken? Is it one type of English? There are so many. And in America, they don't speak English. Right? What about Australia? They speak Trine. They don't speak English.
They speak the true English.
Huh?
They speak the true English.
You speak the true English? Okay, that I don't know. You have to find out if everybody understood what you said. That is true. Okay? So, I'm saying, communication is so hard. Just language. What to speak of culture? Now, somebody decides that in the West it's perfectly alright to come and, you know, have two glasses and clank them. Say, cheers. Can you do it to your teacher here? You're doing a good job. You think I'm going to be very respectful to him, and I take people out for a drink. Can I take you out for a drink, Swami? Swami, can we go for a drink? How about that beer? Can have a beer. Light beer. Right? So I'm saying, what would that do? You meant all in good intention, you wanted to give him, to show him respect, to show him you care, by calling him up for beer. But what does he think? What is he trying to say? Call him for a beer? Because he saw me from a distance, not coming close? What's that now? In your mind, you did nothing wrong. You hailed him from a distance. Swami! Because he's far away, you want to call him before he goes into the room. And then you're screaming. What's our culture? We want you to come close, stand in front of us, not when you face your back, and talk to us. Suppose that's the only culture I have seen, and I don't recognize the possibility of another culture, what will I think of a person who hailed me for a drink? Secondly, I expect a person to call me Swami Ji, not Swami. That I don't like. Now, unless I have the mind to see that there is no disrespect intended in this. It's just a cultural difference. Or even if it's not cultural, person is in India. I never saw a Swami till I went to Ashwajya Gurukulam in my life. I never saw one. First time I visited the Gurukulam, somebody said, there is a Swami. I said, who's Swami? So there's a talk of Vedanta. I said, what Vedanta? So, I mean,
We don't know how to behave. We don't know what is to be done, what is not to be done. We don't know what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. And even if we know, we might not measure up to the other side. The teacher is sitting down. Everybody observes what a teacher does. And you have your own image of what your teacher should be. And you measure. Does it measure? No. 2 inches short. Dump him. 5 inches short. Not worthwhile. 1 inch short. Maybe I can work with him. This is how we do. We measure everybody. Habitually. Vyavahara has taught us that. Without measuring, you can't deal with the world. Because you need to have some temporary judgment about every situation, about every event, about every person, in order to make the right choices. You're hiring people for a job. You can't hire them blind. You have to make some judgment, tentatively, and then see whether they hold up to it. And then you work with them. You hire a person for a college, for a course. You have to judge them. You want to just decide whether somebody can volunteer for a given job. You have to judge them. Where is judgment not there? Poor Vyavahara is judgment. So, naturally, the tendency to judge will continue into this Vyavahara of teaching and learning. And this is what you are antevasi. You stay with the teacher. Which means what? If you have to see me only for this 1 hour, I can make myself up better. I can pretend that I'm a nice guy. But then you want to see me whole day. Any misbehavior I do, anywhere you want to notice that, and you're measuring me. It doesn't measure me. Right? It may be my misbehavior, it may be my misunderstanding. This is all with a person who is sane, who we call normal, who doesn't need to be institutionalized. What about somebody else? Not the one who needs institutionalization, but a person. We all are willingly, we are subject to an unconscious. In our childhood, everyone goes through an unconscious. Swamiji says, unconscious is Ishvara's grace. It comes to help the child to survive. Survive against all odds. And that unconscious covers up the problem. It pushes it under the carpet. So that child can wipe its tears, smile, and go ahead with its business. But as adults, this unconscious is only under the carpet. It's not gone, okay? When it gets a chance, it comes out. Here I am, take care of me. And when it comes out, one has to deal with it. This unconscious can make me see what is not. In the beginning, the teacher is wonderful. He's marvelous. He's excellent. Then he is my father's figure. And then everything my father did wrong to me or my mother did wrong to me, he is responsible. All that is called, or you call it negative transference. This can happen. Where will this lead to? Suppose there is negative transference. I don't understand what hit me. Because you accuse me of things I don't know about. And then if I also respond without understanding this possibility, I will say this guy is disrespectful to me. He doesn't deserve to be here. Okay? Off with you. Please pack your bags and leave tomorrow. Done. Where does it leave us? What happened to our pursuit? Obstacle. Therefore, ma vidvishavahai. Maybe not fight. Maybe not quarrel. Maybe not misunderstand each other. Because we are here with a nimitta. We are here for the purpose of learning. Learning is true for both the teacher and the student, to some extent. Not for Brahma Vidya aspect, but in terms of, there's so much every human being has to teach another. Each person has a lot to offer. So I'm saying, in this process of sharing, in this process of learning, may we not have misunderstanding. May we be able to give each other a long rope. May we have a Shraddha that, you know, we are not going for each other's jugular. We are here to make it together. We are here to live together, to grow together. This idea has to come. And it doesn't come just like that. It requires an effort, samarthyam. It requires grace. Because unconscious is not in my hand. It comes. And sometimes people leave the course because they are unable to handle the teacher, or they are not able to handle the food, they are not able to handle the fellow classmate. Everybody in this class is against me. I can't take all these students. What do they think of me? The students didn't think anything of you. It's your own unconscious bringing something up. Maybe there's something which triggers it. We don't know what it is. But we don't know better. How do we deal with a problem we don't even know is going to surface? We have two choices. We can throw in the towel and say, I'm done. This Vedanta doesn't work. And walk away. Or I can make an attempt by prayer. I take the hidden factors also into account. I make a prayer. When we are helpless, what should one do? One should seek help. Where should one seek help? Not from another helpless fellow. Right? Helpless plus helpless is not helpless. It is what? Doubly helpless. Depends on how it works, okay? So Swami, you will say two people marry. Okay? Helpless, helpless. After marriage, doubly helpless. Depends. You can make it work, it may not work. We have to complement each other. Not compliment each other. Complimenting each other is fine. Oh, you're a wonderful person. Whether I mean it or not, in some cultures it's very, very prevalent. You know, we just tell people what we don't mean. Because that is a culture. We have to compliment others. Oh, you spoke so wonderfully. Oh, this dress is gorgeous. You look so pretty. Is the dress looking pretty or you look pretty? I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter. The whole thing is more. It's culture. I'm not saying it's wrong. We have to express to others, we accept them. Culture. What I'm saying, that's not what we talk about. I'm saying compliment each other, not compliment. Compliment means one completes the other. One fulfills the other. We can try complimenting each other to some extent. But then, when we don't have all the pieces here, suppose you're trying to make a jigsaw puzzle without all the pieces, can you complete the puzzle? You can't. You have to get all the missing pieces. There's only one place where you can go for all the pieces. That's Ishvara. Therefore, we again pray. What? Ma vidvishavahai. May we not fight each other. May we not have a misunderstanding. May we not have difficulties relating with each other in this pursuit of this jhana. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So with that, we say, all these kind of obstacles, may they find cessation. May they not, even if they don't succeed completely, may they find cessation enough for me to grow. The whole pursuit is such that it's not all or one, all or nothing. You gain some, and with that, you gain more. Some understanding helps you get Purusharthana Nishchaya, a little Purusharthana Nishchaya. More Purusharthana Nishchaya, you study more. The more you study, the more Purusharthana Nishchaya. Similarly, Rikaritva, you have Karma Yoga. Some of it gives some space. You study with that space, gives you more space. Each thing kind of grows on itself. It's like it snowballs, like I think. It slowly snowballs. It begins with a little piece. But by the time it goes down the slope, you find a huge ball. That's snowballing. You have to make it snowball. That's the way it works. Why all this story? Why so much shanti? Because this is, it's a surprise. Ashcharyam. Ashcharyam vakta. The speaker of this knowledge is a surprise. Is something we can't imagine such a knowledge. The person, that somebody listen to it is again another surprise. Okay? And somebody understands is another surprise. Why is it all surprising? Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchit yadam siddhi. among millions, one indeed strives for this. Yatata visiddhanam kashchin mam veti tattvata. Even among those who strive, only a few understand this. So, as I said, there are a lot of slips between the cup and the lips. Too many slips. Then how does one know? This jnanam doesn't come na medhaya, na bahuna shrutena, yamesha brinute tena labhyaha. Two ways of looking. It is understood by only one who really chooses to know. Yamesha brinute, the one who chooses. Tena labhyaha. By him it is understood. The second way of looking at it. The one whom Ishvara chooses for bestowing that knowledge. Tena labhyaha. He understands it. How will Ishvara choose? Not by lottery ticket. We have to tap it. It is prayer in the beginning. It's prayer in between. It's prayer all. And that prayer, if really we accomplish shanti, the cessation of all obstacles to whatever I'm trying to accomplish, what keeps me away from my sought goal is obstacles. Especially in this pursuit, when it is siddhavastu, when it's already an accomplished fact, what can prevent me from understanding that I am the reality, I am the whole, I'm speaking to me? What prevents it? Obstacles. So, the total cessation of obstacles means the culmination of what I seek, moksha. Therefore, you can see that shanti is a prayer and we should pray for it with all our hearts. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamagachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.